ceased being male and female when we become Christians. I think we can understand that from a physical standpoint. And I want to make a point on another lesson as I pass this, and I want you young people to listen to this. You young ladies can become pregnant after becoming Christians just as well as you can when you're not Christians if you violate the teaching of God's will. And you in the younger generation and those of us in the older generation, even as Christians, can develop the disease of AIDS. AIDS is no respecter of persons. When people are involved in those things that contribute to the contracting of it, AIDS doesn't walk up and say, "Are you a Christian?" We are still male and female, and I think it's high time that we helped our younger generation and older generation to understand that God's laws of nature work for Christians just like non-Christians. Don't tell me there's neither male nor female when it comes to the physical situation. There are still some things that are different physically, although we're all one in Christ. Emotionally, that is true. God made us with different emotions, and these may vary within the setting, but there are certain emotions that are stronger with men and certain emotions that are stronger with women. It seems to be the case, I'm convinced at least that it is the case, that usually the initial sexual response of a man is 9 times that of a woman. If that's the case for people who are not Christians, does it cease when we become Christians? Perhaps there are some factors involved in living the Christian life that may help us to have a better sense of control and a sense of the difference between right and wrong, but our emotions don't change just because we become Christians. And neither do the spiritual differences change. Neither male nor female means that there's no difference in opportunity to be saved, but it does not remove the differences that exist physically, emotionally, and spiritually. With Jew or Gentile, free or bond, male or female. And folks, this statement does not teach that all restrictions are to be removed. I'm reading some works now and hearing people say, even some in the church, that since this verse says there's neither male nor female, that means there should be no restrictions within the church. And you are well aware that there are religious groups today who have men and women serving as elders. And I sat in the auditorium over at Lloyd when there was the discussion about this a few years ago and heard a man who's serving as an elder of the church in one of the New England states say that he has no problem with women serving as elders. And that was based on a discussion that 1 Timothy chapter 2 is cultural and does not apply today. And usually is tied to Genesis 3:28 that says something like this, "You see, in Christ there's neither male nor female, therefore these restrictions do not apply." I have just as much right to say what I said foolishly at the first of the service tonight, that there are not any males and females in the church, that they're all one and cease to exist, as to remove that which God has taught in His Word as restrictions. God's Word still teaches the male leadership in the church and in the home. I'm not for sure that I understand all the why that God chose it that way, but I do believe that He did. And yes, I understand that we probably need more sermons on helping men to be the kind of leaders that they ought to be, and the lack of leadership sometimes may be contributing to the problem, but that's another lesson. The fact still remains that the qualifications for elders and deacons cannot be met by women. And the restriction in 1 Timothy chapter 2 is that a woman is not to teach nor usurp authority over the man. God's Word teaches that and ties it not to cultural but to creation and to the fall in the latter part of that chapter. And Galatians 3:28 stating, there's neither male nor female in Christ, talking about the vertical relationship, does not alter that horizontal relationship between men and women in the church, nor in the home. God's word still says that the husband is the head of the wife. And again, I would emphasize that we need more lessons to those of us as husbands to know how to be leaders in our families and to be the kind of leaders that we ought to be. But the fact still remains that God has said that the husband and the father is to be the leader in the family, the wife is to respect him as the head of the family, and that she is to submit to him as the leader of that family. And we're seeing the same thing happen with our families in this nation that we're seeing happen in religion. There is a trend in many instances to say no difference. No difference in the responsibility of the man and the woman in the family. No difference in the responsibility of the man and the woman in the church. God says there is a difference. There are some specific commandments given to fathers. There are some specific commandments given to mothers. And they are different. There are some specific commandments given to men, and there are some specific commandments given to women relative to the work of the church. And Galatians 3:28 does not remove any of those. I think there is a description of the church in 1 Corinthians 12 that perhaps can help us to see this if we'll stop and think about it. Verse 12 of 1 Corinthians 12 says, we're all in one body, but many members. Verse 13 says, we're all baptized into the same body, the same thing that's said back in Galatians 3:27. And then beginning about verse 14 and going down through maybe 26, 7, or 8, there is a detailed discussion of the physical body. And in this, then, he compares the church to that physical body. You remember he says, the eye says to the ear, or the foot says to the hand, I have no need of thee. What would you think if the eye said to the tongue, now wait a minute, I can't talk, therefore I'm not equal, I have the right to talk. Or the ear says, now I won't start seeing, it's not fair. God hasn't been fair to my body. You see, he made me two eyes and they don't do anything but see. And sometimes don't do too good a job of that. My ears hear, my eyes see, and neither one of them can talk. And yet we are, all these members are one body. In Christ, you see the image? There are those that are capable of doing one thing, those that are capable of doing another, and not only on capability and ability, there are commandments given as to what some can and cannot do, and others can and cannot do. And what I'm saying to you tonight, in this vertical relationship, among people, Galatians 3:28 does not remove what is taught in 1 Timothy 2 or Ephesians 5 concerning the church and concerning the family. As far as salvation is concerned, we have equal opportunity. We have the same entrance into Christ. We have the same blessings. But we still remain different. Jews and Gentiles, bond and free, male and female, and we still have certain responsibilities and some restrictions. There are some things in the church that no woman can do, and there are some things in the church that most of us men cannot do. There are some mighty fine men in the audience tonight that I know personally who cannot serve as elders. They can't meet the qualifications. Either not married or have no children. Still outstanding Christians, maybe doing as much as anybody to promote the cause of Christ, but there are some restrictions. Does that make them second rate? Oh, no. Same opportunity, same entrance into Christ, the same blessings, but the differences continue to exist. I believe when we put Galatians 3:28 into the proper setting of the context, we can see what it is teaching. And then when we broaden out to the greater context of the Bible, we can see what it is not teaching. And basically, here is what I have tried to get across tonight. Galatians 3:28 and the setting where that teaching is saying as far as opportunity and blessings in Christ, for each one of us to make a personal decision to become a Christian and follow Christ, All are one, no distinction. But as far as responsibilities, certain responsibilities within the home and within the church, there are differences and there are limitations. Those do not change the equal opportunity, and they must remain because God's word teaches them. We need to be careful that we do not bind where God has not bound, nor loose where he has not loosed. I would suggest to you that sometimes I think we have not appreciated the value of our women in the church, particularly our older women who need to be doing more and teaching younger women. And I think sometimes maybe we men do not appreciate the value of our wives and others who do so many things that are so good and so outstanding and so helpful in the Lord's kingdom. And I say to you tonight, we don't have to change a thing in God's word. For every one of us to be fulfilled and to work together and to fit together and each one carry out his own responsibilities or her own responsibilities and all have those equal opportunities of salvation and equal opportunities to receive the blessings from Jesus Christ. In that sense, we're all one in Christ. And that's where Christ wants you to be tonight. It doesn't make any difference if you're a Jew or Gentile background, if you're white or black, if you're an employer or an employee, or if you're a man or a woman, or you're older or younger. It doesn't make any difference as far as the invitation of Jesus Christ for you to be a Christian and live a Christian life. It's all the same. For as many of you have been baptized into Christ, have put on Christ. If you haven't done that, come to him as together we stand and sing.